the left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Yell. Aguilla. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
Okay, we're underway on another hour of Flames Talk. It is a Wednesday, April 9th, and we welcome you to our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair. Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson of Post Media on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Text line open at 960-960. We got a jam-packed hour for you here on Flames Talk on this Wednesday. What do we got? What type of tea we got over there on this Wednesday?
Honeydew.
A honeydew white tea or a honeydew green tea?
I don't know.
White tea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sort of pretentious, isn't it?
Well, I got my Emperor's Clouds and Mist. You got your honeydew white tea. Yeah. We're ready to rock
here
and roll.
Here we go.
By the way, hello, Wes.
How are you, buddy?
Good, man. The big games just keep on coming for the Flames. 77 down, 5 to go. And the reality is the Flames would like all 5 of these games to mean something. Monday was a must-win in San Jose, and they found a way to win. Probably made it too hard on themselves, but they did. And now Wednesday, another one of those must-win games against Anaheim. And this is the reality. I don't think the Flames are going to be in any comfortable games down the stretch if they do what they're trying to do. If the Flames want to make the playoffs, I don't think they're going to have a comfortable game the rest of the way. There's going to be high stakes on all of these games from now until next Thursday, because it feels like if they're going to do it, Wes, it's going to come down to game 82. If Minnesota is going to keep the door open for them, and if the Flames are going to accomplish what they need to do to make it happen, it feels like Thursday, April 17th is when it'll be decided if it's going to go the Flames' way. If it gets decided before then, it feels like it won't be in Calgary's favor.
Yeah, there would have to be an epic meltdown in Minnie combined with quite a winning streak for the Flames for us to be talking about a clinching scenario before game 82.
From a Calgary perspective,
like they, you know, with a win tonight, with a victory in their head-to-head over Minnesota, they'll enter the final week of their regular season with a chance. But we're not going to be talking about any. If they are going to have a chance, it's going to have to get completed in game 82. Zero question.
Yeah, it feels like that's the only way this is going to go with 5 games to go. Minnesota controls their own destiny. There is a chance, a decent chance, that the game on Friday is an elimination game for Calgary, or they will be fighting to avoid elimination. And depending on the way things go, with Wednesday's results, Minnesota hosts San Jose, Calgary's in Anaheim. Depending on how those results go, it could be the Flames need to not lose in regulation to avoid elimination, or it could be another situation as well. So we'll see how it all plays out. But first, they got to play the games on Wednesday.
And I know this isn't wild talk, but some significant news for the team that the Flames are trying to chase down today.
Yeah, both Kirill Kaprizov and Joel Eriksson Ek activated off of IR. As we'd kind of been expecting, it felt like they were about a week away.
Yeah, it's been trending this way, for sure.
So they are both set to return to the lineup Wednesday against the Sharks, so would be in the lineup for the big head-to-head Friday against the Flames at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. So more intrigue added to the entire conversation. The situation is this. The Flames are 5 back of a playoff spot. Their elimination number is 6 points or 3 games. Any combination of points lost by Calgary or gained by Minnesota equaling 6 between now and the end of the regular season will officially eliminate Calgary. The reason it's that simple is because Calgary can't tie the Wild. We've gone through the tie-breaking scenarios a few times, but that's why it feels like every game from here until the end of the year, if the Flames are going to make it, is going to be meaningful. If they're playing games with no stakes, it means that they've been eliminated, and they're hoping that doesn't end up coming to pass.
Yeah, and you've heard me say for a couple weeks now, you know, the table could be set for a really fun night Friday at the Saddle Dome. You know, a really meaningful game, which is something we haven't seen enough of in this city over the past however many years.
Probably the last time they played a game like that, depending on what the stakes are, but there will be some stakes in Friday's game. Like, regardless, that game is guaranteed to have some sort of meaning for Calgary. It's probably been since about this time in 2023 in that big head-to-head game they had against the Jets in Winnipeg in very similar circumstances.
Yeah, and yet really doesn't matter if you don't get the result in Anaheim.
Yes, and it's going to be tough to get the result in Anaheim if they don't get off to a better start. We know that that has been a big-time issue for the Flames over the last couple of weeks, and the comeback wins and the scratching out points and all that type of stuff has been great. But, yeah, Nazem Kadri admitting Wednesday morning in SoCal that, yeah, better start, that's pretty important.
We got to start with the start. That's as easy as that. So, you know, obviously first 10 minutes, I think it's important to set the tone and maybe try to get ahead of the game instead of coming back for once, so. Let's try to do that.
We talked a lot about this on Tuesday's roundtable. Like, they can't keep putting themselves in a situation where they need to come back. They can't keep putting themselves in that spot, can they?
No, absolutely not. And I actually think if we say that it was just a bad start on Monday in San Jose, we're probably overlooking the entire second period, which wasn't very good either. Like, the Calgary Flames were not good enough to beat most NHL teams on Monday. Thankfully, they were up against the worst team in the NHL. But
yes,
but any sort of replica performance tonight, and I get that the Anaheim Ducks are, you know, hardly on the Mount Rushmore of NHL teams right now, but they're a tougher out than the San Jose Sharks, and the Flames better realize that they have to deliver a better performance than they did Monday.
This text comes in at 960-960. Grant says, why are they not playing Zane against one of the worst teams? They need goals. Sorry, I'm frustrated, Patty. Hope your afternoon's going great. I do believe, like, I've seen it from, and I'm not even taking pot shots or anything, but I've seen it a lot on a lot of the fan accounts on social media. I've seen it on the text line. Like, have we not been prepping the waters and telling you that, like, it should not be, whether you agree or not, like, it should not be a surprise that Suniyev and Parekh are not playing in this game, because this has been what we've been telling you for more than a week now, that, yeah, these guys come, they'll be with the team, but while games are meaningful, it's not trending like they're going to play. Unless an injury comes into the equation, or they're not playing meaningful games, this is going to be more of an experience thing for Suniyev and Parekh. So no, neither guy is set to play Wednesday night against Anaheim, and that means neither guy is going to play likely Friday against the Minnesota Wild in a game that could be trying to save Calgary's season.
You know what frustrates me, if that's the right word for it, buddy, is, like, I get the excitement, absolutely. I can't wait to see Zane Parekh with my own eyes. I mean, anytime, and Craig Conroy put it this way in my conversation with him yesterday, anytime you're talking about a junior season that ends with a comparison to Bobby Orr, you're talking about a special player. And yet, I'll tell you what frustrates me is that this narrative always seems to suggest that a guy coming out of junior, or even in Idar Suniyev's case, out of college, can immediately be better than half the players in the NHL. And I really think, like, I keep seeing, oh, well, you know, you got to put Parekh in over Bean and over Pahal. And, you know, I've seen some people say, put him in over Rasmus Anderson. You know, I keep seeing, well, you got to put Suniyev in. He can't be worse than so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And I just, like, you can have whatever opinion you want on whether Zane Parekh should be playing or not tonight. I get the excitement to see him, but I don't understand maybe the flabbergasted response to the fact that Ryan Huska doesn't want to debut a junior age kid in a must-win game. Like, Zane Parekh had 107 points in the OHL this season, and that's incredible. Hunter Brustevich had 92 points in the OHL last year, and I will tell you that 5 months into his pro career, he looks overwhelmed in the AHL. There is a chance that Zane Parekh is going to need a few games before he's ready to play his game at the NHL level. And I know it's sometimes the squeaky wheels, but this whole idea that the Flames have completely lost the plot because they're not playing Zane Parekh tonight, I just don't totally understand where it's coming from.
Look, if I were making the calls, I'd probably put him in. I'm not, and I don't make the calls, or my opinions, rather, don't have consequences. I could say, you know what? Scratch Kadri tonight. I didn't like the things that he said on Wednesday morning. So scratch Kadri. I can say that. It's a ridiculous opinion, but I can say that and has no consequences. But if the coach and the coaching staff make these decisions, they have consequences. And so, as we said on Tuesday, yeah, if it were me, if I had my choice, yeah, I'd probably put him in, see what he's got, especially against the Ducks. I'd take that risk. But I get why, in this situation with your season on the line, big picture doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is the lineup that this coach is most comfortable playing to beat the Anaheim Ducks. And for Ryan Huska, that doesn't include Zane Parekh, and I get that. It's kind of where I'm at on it, and it's probably the way it's going to go Friday night as well.
I think it's a complete compliment to the kid that everyone wants to see him. And I said it yesterday, I think it would have been a cop-out for the Flames to send him to the American Hockey League, as you do with most junior-age kids at the end of the year. I just... You know, I'm not sure that they deserve the flack that they're getting on this one.
It is Steinberg and Wes along with you on this hour of Flames Talk. One other note that is interesting. Looks like they're going to start with Adam Klapka on the Kadri-Huberdeau line after he jumped up there in the third period against San Jose, scored the game-tying goal, then drew a penalty. This is head coach Ryan Huska on a big opportunity for Adam Klapka.
I think he deserves the opportunity to stay there. He's getting rewarded because he's kept his game simple. He's been physical. He's gone to the net. He's used his big body the right way. So, scored a really big goal for us in San Jose, and we want to reward him for that. So hopefully he can do a lot of the same.
So Adam Klapka, big opportunity on this Wednesday night in Anaheim. And we'll see. We'll see if it lasts. Can he stick up there? Can he not stick up there? I don't know. But it's going to be a big opportunity for him with Kadri and Huberdeau, at least to start this game against the Ducks.
And what we think is Pospisil just straight down to the fourth line to start tonight? Is that what we...
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, if you're one of the third line wingers, I think you're probably on notice too.
Yeah.
I know Ryan Huska. I think Ryan Huska liked that third line better in San Jose than maybe I did, but I could see some shuffling happening tonight.
It is Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you on this Wednesday edition of Flames Talk, and I'm looking forward to this next conversation as Flames forward Justin Kirkland has been nominated for the Bill Masterton Memorial Trophy by the Calgary chapter of the Professional Hockey Writers Association. The annual award goes to the NHL player who best exemplifies the qualities of perseverance, sportsmanship, and dedication to hockey, and Justin Kirkland is the Flames team nominee for this season. This is the blurb from the Calgary chapter of the PHWA, which just happens to be captained by Wes Gilbertson across from me. This is what the PHWA had to say. Justin Kirkland was one of the best stories of the fall, a guy who'd refused to give up on his NHL dream with a shootout move that seldom seemed to fail. Kirkland scored his first career goal at age 28. That memorable marker came during a deserved reward during an October 13th, 2024 victory over the Edmonton Oilers on Hockey Night. It was a well-deserved reward after spending most of the previous 8 seasons in the minors and recovering from head trauma and other injuries he sustained in a motor vehicle accident as he was driving to a game with the Ducks in 2023. Kirkland was establishing himself as a full-timer and was 3-for-4 on shootout attempts when he suffered a season-ending ACL injury in late November. As he promised in a social media post, "My path has never been a smooth one, so best believe I will take this challenge head on." And this was from head coach Ryan Huska on Wednesday morning.
I think for me, it's the belief that he's maintained in himself all the way along. There always seemed like he's always had something that's trying to knock him back or knock him down or force him to leave the game, whatever you want to look at. But he's always believed in himself. And every time something negative happened in his career, he's always come back stronger. So I think he's a great nominee for us. We're excited for him. We would rather he be playing for us right now. But I know, as we've talked about before, he's going to put himself in a position where he's going to be back better than ever. So I think he's a great nominee for us.
And from the head coach to the 2024-25 Flames team nominee for the Bill Masterton Memorial Trophy, let's say hello to Justin Kirkland on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Justin, it's Pat and Wes. How are we doing today?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing great. Having an awesome day and enjoying this news being announced.
You've known for a couple of days now, a few days since the weekend, that this was going to be the case. But what does the Masterton nomination mean for you?
This is special for me. It's an absolute honor. You look at some of the names on the list, past winners and stuff like that. And for my name to be in that same sentence with those guys, feels a little surreal for me. So. Trying to soak it all in, enjoy the moment and celebrate with those closest to me.
Well, and in that quote that I read and in your social media post, and you've talked about it at length this season, going back to October and November, like the hard road has always been the road that you've had to travel, it seems like. And so, this kind of just feels like, hey, the perseverance and the dedication, that's always been part of the Justin Kirkland story, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's this road to the NHL for me is not being the conventional way. I've been knocked down before, and I plan on getting right back up, and that's kind of how my mindset has been with this knee injury and going through the rehab process. And I think there's a lot that you can learn about yourself as you go through these hard times. And, I plan on coming back stronger and better than ever. So it's been a long road on this rehab process, but we're doing well with it. And I'm excited to be able to strap the skates on again this summer.
What do you learn about yourself when you talk about you learn a lot about yourself in tough spots? Like, what type of things do you learn?
Well, I think a lot of it is mental, how you're able to process, finding out news, when I found out, my season's over after I was just going through the absolute best time of my life. So sort of balancing the roller coaster of emotions, that a hockey season can bring, and, these hard times, you face a lot of different challenges mentally. So I think I've learned about myself, sort of different things that I'm able to do personally to, continue to navigate, the challenges. And, for myself, like I've talked about before, really leaning on people that I'm close to, my wife, my family, my sister, my friends. That's something that I've really taken away from this is, maybe just being a little bit more open with people.
Justin, how is the recovery going? Like, take us through the last number of months and how the recovery from the knee surgery has gone.
Yeah, right now where I'm at, we're kind of right on track with where we want things to be. So that's exciting and encouraging. The first few months of this process are a slow grind. You don't see a ton of progress, for the first month. So. You're on crutches, you're in a knee brace, a big step in that first process is learning, you're riding the bike again, you're trying to get that range of motion back, you're trying to walk normal again, stuff like that. So as you progress, you start to get these little, I like to call them little wins, stuff that you can celebrate where, you're able to, right now, the big thing is I'm able to jump again. So you take those little wins, you celebrate those and you keep trekking through this journey.
You know, one of the things that had been talked about or written about extensively as you were making your mark through the first couple months of the season here with the Flames, Justin, was that car accident a little bit more than 2 years ago. And whether it was that or some of the other big time roadblocks that you've had to navigate throughout your career. I mean, that knee injury was such a devastating blow and such a bad piece of luck. But were you able to, I guess, put it in perspective and mentally handle it the way in a really positive way or a more positive way because of some of the other adverse situations you've had to deal with?
I think so. It obviously wasn't easy news to get. But as I, you know, you sit down and you reflect on things that you've gone through before and, I just looked at it and I said, there's no reason. I've handled other things. There's no reason why I can't get through this. And, once again, it's leaning on people around me to support me. It's not always easy. It's not always the best day that you're going to have. It's a long road. So, you definitely take the lessons that you've learned in past years, and but there's always there's always things that come up that you're constantly battling against, but for me, like I said, the biggest thing is leaning on people around me and the continued support that I've had from my family, I feel so fortunate to have the love and support from the city of Calgary, the fans and stuff like that. So that stuff goes a long way.
We're chatting with Justin Kirkland, who is Calgary's nominee for the 2024-25 Bill Masterton Memorial Trophy. He's joining us here on Flames Talk with Pat and Wes. Wes?
Justin, I want to just pick up on something you just said, and that's the sort of love and support that you've felt from this fan base. I know that injured players can sometimes be kind of out of sight and out of mind. There's a lot of focus on, what the team's doing tonight and who's playing tonight. But on a day like today for the nomination to be made public, like how much have you sort of felt that love from the fan base today?
It's amazing. It's been amazing. This city, this fan base, it's special. And for me to be able to, read some stuff online, sit down with my wife and have some laughs and look at what some people are saying. It means the world to us. And especially when I'm going through this injury, on a day like today, you get to sit back and celebrate something like this, instead of, the continuous grind of the rehab process. So, once again, you take a win like this, you celebrate it, you have some fun, and you sit back and you reflect on the journey that's gotten you here, and it's special, man.
You told me a few days ago that on some of those tough days in the injury rehab, some of those tough moments, you think back to October and November and what a thrill it was to have that stretch in the NHL. When your mind does go back to the fall, what moments are you thinking of, or what's sort of top of mind for you?
I think the biggest one is definitely my first goal, in the Battle of Alberta. I grew up not far from Edmonton and Camrose. So, I've watched those games for, most of my life. And then all of a sudden I'm playing in one and ended up scoring my first goal. So that's one that keeps coming back to me and those experiences, a big one like that, but then also all the little stuff, the day-to-day stuff in the dressing room, sitting around the locker room, joking around with the guys, the plane rides, the dinners on the road, stuff like that. It really, really makes you appreciate all those little moments. You miss it a lot, but that makes me even more hungry to come back and get to that exact same spot again.
Are you able, I'm sure this is hard to sort of put in words, but you talk about that hunger to get back to it. You described it earlier as the sort of best time of your life. Like that unconventional road, those 400 and some games in the minors, all that. Is it possible to sort of describe how worth it all of that is when you kind of live the dream you did earlier this season?
I don't know if there's any words that could possibly describe that feeling of what I was going through in those first few months of the season. But like you said, when I did get to experience that, that made every single step, every good day, every bad day throughout my career, that made it all worth it. I truly was living my dream. So I just keep reminding myself of those days, and I'm kind of on the backside of this rehab now, where things are progressing a little more quickly, and it just makes me that much more excited to get things rolling in the summer with summer training and you know, skating again, and then you know, I'm looking forward to next season already.
Yeah, have any concern with all this time off your skates that goalies might have too much time to figure out how to stop that shootout move?
I'm hoping by now they forgot about it.
We're chatting with Justin Kirkland, the Flames nominee for the Masterton this year. Have you, speaking of which, have you been able to, you know, start to plot out some new shootout moves that you might be able to try? It's been a lot of downtime off the skates. Have you been able to work any new ones into your mind?
Well, there's a few variations from that one move that I won't go too in depth on, but you know, me and Anthony Mantha have spent some time at the rink shooting pucks in the hallway. We've got a little shooting area there, so we get to have some fun there. You know, battle and compete against each other, have some laughs as we shoot some pucks. So those days are always really fun too. Where instead of being in the weight room, we're able to you know, have some normality, something that we're used to. So those days cheer us up pretty good.
Justin, it's funny you bring up Anthony, because I know that you would never wish the rehab he's going through on anybody the same way he wouldn't to you or anybody else. But how big has it been having a guy that's kind of not that far removed? I remember Jacob Pelche and Kevin Rooney last year talking about how big it was having another person there going through a significant return and a long road to a return, and kind of being at similar stages of that return, same injury, same situation that Anthony's going through. How big has he been for you?
He's been massive. This guy has been, you know, supporting me, taking me under his wing right from day one of this process. And I'm so fortunate that I do have him to go through it with. Like you said, you don't wish it upon anybody, but to have a guy like him who's also been around the league for a long time, he's got those experiences, he's got some great stories that we can talk about at the rink, and he's just been such a good teammate and an even better friend. So we're able to lean on each other as we go through the process. We can push each other through the process as we're, you know, doing workouts. We try to make these workouts fun with the trainers, you know, have some laughs throughout it, because these days can get pretty repetitive. So especially when the guys are on the road, you know, you feel kind of removed from what's actually going on with the team and stuff. So to have him around when the guys are gone, you know, we're able to get together and do stuff, whether it's lunches and dinners, you know, spend time with each other away from the rink, with our wives, stuff like that.
Yeah.
He's honestly been a very, very important person in this whole process.
Justin, you've gone through a lot of different times in your career and your life, and you've always been able to get back to where you were before and maybe even take a step. So what is the internal confidence that, you know, you go through this, you put the rehab behind you, and you get back to where you were in October and November and maybe take a step on that? Like, how confident are you that you'll be able to get back and be as good or better than ever?
Yeah, I've got that belief in myself. There's a lot of work to be done for that, but I'm not afraid of that, and I'm going to put my head down and work. And I think with the confidence thing, at the start of this year, you know, with what I was able to do and the steps that I was able to take, you take that confidence and you try to build off of it. So like I said, I keep reminding myself of those times, and, that's, you know, we just continue to build on that over the summer and hopefully coming into training camp and be in a better position than I was last year or at the start of the season.
If it was up to you, how much would you like to be back with the Flames and the organization next year?
That's my number one goal. You know, it's this city, the city's special to me, me and my wife. You know, this is our home base in the summer times. Like I mentioned before, the love and the support from the fans and the community has been great. And, you know, spending some of my spare time now, being injured, spending it out in the community, with some different charities and stuff like that. Just the way that I felt the city kind of rallied behind me and my wife and my story, throughout the season.
Yeah.
I would love nothing more than to continue being a Flame.
I think Flames fans would echo that, Justin. And that's a good way to wrap it up with the conversation here today. Congratulations on the nominations. Continued good luck as you make your way back. Hey, thanks so much for doing this, and we'll see you. We'll see you really soon.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys. Thanks for having me on.
He is Justin Kirkland. He is the Flames nominee for the Bill Masterton Memorial Trophy in 24-25. He's the perfect nominee for the Flames this year, and he joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery. And I would imagine, you know, I am not part of the Professional Hockey Writers Association. You are the chapter chair here in Calgary, but I imagine that one was a pretty easy nomination this year.
Yeah, as I told Justin in a conversation we had a few days ago, like, you know, when you talk about perseverance and dedication to hockey, you know, we always joke about the sort of photo beside a definition in the dictionary. Like, there's not a whole lot of guys who have embodied that. I think the way Justin Kirkland has, I gotta tell you, there's years maybe it's harder to come up with a team nominee, especially when you have a really young team. Maybe, you know, there's not always guys that are a perfect fit for the criteria, and this just wasn't one of those years. I think in a lot of years, a guy like Joel Hanley could have been a good team nominee. A guy like Michael Backlund, who becomes the second player in franchise history to play 1,000 games. Like, there's a bunch of ways you could have gone, and yet Justin Kirkland, for myself anyways, as a voter, made it pretty darn simple. Can I add one more thing too? I don't know, people probably haven't seen the entire list of nominees, but I do think it's very cool that Sean Monahan is the nominee in Columbus. Yeah. We all know the heartache and everything else that he's played through. So I just wanted to, you know, it was cool to see Sean's name on that list today as well. And so congratulations to him too.
Thanks to Justin for joining us. Thanks to Sean Kelso at the Flames for making that happen as well. It's Pat and Wes this hour on Flames Talk. Can't find the latest episodes of your favorite HGTV, Discovery, and Food Network shows? Rogers Xfinity TV has the newest seasons of the top-rated shows on these popular channels, while other providers are no longer including them in their TV lineup. If your TV provider doesn't carry these channels, you're missing out on new seasons of Celebrity IOU, Hometown, Beat Bobby Flay, Expedition X, and more. Don't be fooled by other channels pretending to be these networks you know and love. Get the latest with Rogers Xfinity TV at Rogers.com.
Flames Talk is live on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, now a Wednesday edition of your daily Flames Roundtable brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The fastest growing segment of vehicles they sell is electric. Informed buyers are coming to see. Perhaps you should discover why minutes from the Calgary airport. It's Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson, Post Media, and now Derek Wills joins us to complete our Daily Flames roundtable on this Wednesday. Gents, we talked a little bit about Adam Klapka earlier this hour, Wes and I did, before we chatted with Justin Kirkland, but not super in-depth. Now we can. Adam Klapka getting a really great chance to start Wednesday's game in Anaheim on a line with Kadri and Huberdeau. Obviously, he was put there in the third period in Monday's win over San Jose and almost instantly turned the game in Calgary's favor. What does it look like from Klapka for him to stay on that line for the entire game or for multiple games going forward?
Yeah, we'll see if the Flames start and finish with the same four lines tonight. If they start the same way they started versus the Sharks two nights ago, I doubt that'll be the case, but to your point, I thought Adam Klapka really did help turn that game around for the Flames, and who thought that it would take Martin Pospisil going awkwardly into the end boards and leaving the hockey game, and it appears like he's good to go against the Ducks tonight, but he left that game didn't come back and play in it, although, as you pointed out, Pat, he did sit on the bench for the last couple of minutes. But who thought it would take that to get the Flames energized in that game against the Sharks the other night? Because shortly after that happened, he gets promoted to the right side of the first line with Nazem Kadri and Jonathan Huberdeau. And, you know, Kadri did what he's been doing all season long, and that's be an impactful player for the Flames and help them get that game tied at one with a good shot that led to a rebound. And Adam Klapka put it into the Sharks' net, and it was almost all Flames after that. But certainly the Sharks were the better of the two teams before that. What does he have to do? I think he has to use his very unique package of size and speed and skill and play in straight lines, get in there on the forecheck, bang, crash, go to the front of the net like he did on that game-tying goal a couple of nights ago. And here's the most important thing for me, and this can be tough for all players, but especially for young players, he has to do that consistently. Because my opinion is, if he doesn't do that consistently to start this game tonight, we'll probably see Martin Pospisil back on the line with Nazem Kadri and Jonathan Huberdeau. It feels like Klapka is probably on a short leash, but it's a great opportunity for him.
I wonder if we could even see something similar to what we saw with Connor Zary and Matt Coronato shortly after the break, where those two were sort of rotating between the first and fourth line. Like you'd see both Coronato and Zary get some shifts, because I don't think, and especially with some of the comments that we've heard from Ryan Huska of late about how impactful Martin Pospisil's been, I don't think, unless there's a real health concern there, that he just wants to leave Martin Pospisil on the fourth line. But I know Pat's question is about Klapka, and I think this is, more than anything, guys, a real show of faith in Adam Klapka, and a real show of, you're doing exactly what we've asked you to do, and we want to make sure you're rewarded for it. I know there were probably some, you know, rolling eyes when Ryan Huska mentioned a handful of weeks ago that he wondered if Adam Klapka could chart a similar trajectory to Alexi Protas in Washington, especially since he was rocketing towards a 30-goal season. And yet, I think what makes Adam Klapka so intriguing, and especially with his size, is isn't he just figuring out, guys, the impact he can have at this level? Aren't we just seeing a guy who, it's almost like that light bulb has gone on, and while every time he's come up in the past, he's talked about, well, I know I can't do the things in the NHL that I do in the AHL. It's almost like, hang on a second, maybe I can do some of those things. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's going to be important, especially with those two top guns, to not try to do too much tonight. But I think you're seeing a guy who's maybe realizing that there are parts of his game that are going to translate to the top level. And I got to be honest, I wasn't sure that they ever would.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I think what you laid out there, Derek, is what needs to happen for sure. Like, he needs to be consistent. He needs to continue using his size well. That needs to be what we see from him. Otherwise, he is. Like, it will be a situation where I think they put him back on the fourth line, and they put him back with Lomberg and Rooney, and they're comfortable with him there because he's been good there. But I really am, like, I really do hope we see it even for a couple of periods, just because I am really intrigued, because we asked this question last week. I am really intrigued to see what Klapka further up the lineup looks like, and consistently playing against better players, what does that look like? Because when you're playing on a fourth line, and yes, Ryan Huska trusts his fourth line at times to go out there against, you know, better players on the other side and non-fourth lines on the other side, you still don't want that to be the norm. You want your, as much as possible, you're going to be trying to play your fourth line against the other team's fourth line and see if your depth can beat theirs. And so Klapka's been good playing generally against bottom six, bottom three opposition. what does it look like if he's out there against better players and we see him out there against Troy Terry or Trevor Zegras or McTavish, so on and so forth, Leo Carlson, the higher end players on this Ducks team. What if he's out there against them on a more regular basis? Then how does it look? I'm really curious to see it. And I don't know if it is going to translate on a consistent basis. So yes, he has to do all the things that you said, Willsey, 100%. And I'm really curious to see if he can against better competition.
Yeah, and he's a good skater for a big guy, and he's a really big guy. He is at 6'8", tied for the second tallest forward in the league, and at 235 pounds. And I'm not convinced that he hasn't put on a little bit more weight than that, but he's listed at 235, which would make him the seventh heaviest forward in the league. Again, a good skater, but he doesn't skate as well as Martin Pospisil. And I think that Pospisil's skating and his physicality has been really important for the Flames. Now, again, Klapka can skate, and I think playing more physical as he figures out how to use that 6'8", 235-pound frame. But I think it's a nice reward for a guy who scored a huge goal. You could argue one of the biggest goals so far this season for the Flames, because, guys, they couldn't lose that hockey game on Monday night. For all intents and purposes, their playoff chase would have been over. So the fact that, you know, he gets promoted to that line and makes the most of that opportunity by scoring the 1-1 goal and helping get that game turned around was huge. So I think it's a reward for him and maybe a shot across the bow of Martin Pospisil in some way, shape, or form as well.
Yeah, it's our Daily Flames round table. We'll see how that plays out on Wednesday night in Anaheim. Derek Wills, Wes Gilbertson, Pat Steinberg. Five straight starts for Dustin Wolf. He'll make his fifth straight against the Ducks. Boys, am I often saying that, and I mean, this could easily change, but it sure does feel like if the Flames are going to do what they want to do, what their goal is, and that is to make all of their games meaningful from here until the end of the regular season and fight their way into the playoffs, it sure does feel like they're rolling with their number one. It sure does feel like as these games continue to matter until they don't, It's Dustin Wolf's crease.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, remember way back when, I think the year was 1995, when it was a 1A, 1B. I mean, in the first 30 games of the season, you could argue that Dan Vladar was the 1A based on usage. He started 16 of the first 30 games, and Dustin Wolf started 14 of the first 30 games. But since then, Wolf has started 35 of 47, and I was doing a little bit more digging on that today. So Dustin Wolf's 35 starts since December 14th, tied for fifth most in the NHL. The only guys who have started more games than him are the Utah Hockey Club's Carl Vimalka, and it's because I think Brent Cron is their backup goaltender, and they don't have a lot of faith in him. So Vimalka plays like literally every single night. And then you've got Andrei Vasilevsky of the Lightning, arguably the best goaltender in the league over the last decade. And then you've got two clear-cut number ones in the Islanders' Ilya Sorokin and the Rangers' Igor Shesterkin. So the fact that Dustin Wolf is behind only those guys in starts since December 14th, you know, as a 23-year-old in his first full season in the NHL, it tells you how important he has been to this team. And guys, with the way the schedule is laid out from now until the end of the season, my guess is that if these games continue to be meaningful for the Flames, with all due respect to Dan Vladar, who's had a really strong back half of the season, especially since the start of February, who has a three-game winning streak, who was really good in his last game, stopping 28 of 30, and then all three in the shootout and that thrilling 3-2 come-from-behind victory over the Avalanche last Monday. I think Dustin Wolf will get every single start between now and the end of the regular season, as long as the Flames are pushing for a playoff spot.
I think the really important thing to keep in mind, and I agree with you, Willsey, like I just can't imagine that they go another way in net until they're at a point where either, you know, one way or another, their fate is sealed. I think what's important to note is that Dustin Wolf hasn't faltered. Like, there hasn't been a night that you've looked at and said, geez, we kind of lost this game because we didn't get good goaltending. There's been some nights that were better than others. And I know that his sort of overall stats for the month of March weren't at the same level that we had seen before that. But like, I don't think there's been many nights where you'd look and say, geez, maybe we should switch goalies because Dustin Wolf didn't give us what we needed tonight. Like, it just, it hasn't happened. I know that we do have one texter. I believe it's Daryl who believes Dustin Wolf is overrated and may need to book an optometrist appointment. But for the most part, guys, I just don't think you can fault what they're getting from Dustin Wolf. And when you've hitched your wagon to a go-to goalie and he's not letting you down, this is what you got to do. You just got to stick with him.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Dan Vladar is a huge reason why the Flames are still in this fight, and good on him. And that's awesome to see. He's really turned his season around. I know that he's for me, I've definitely done a complete 180 in terms of what I think his future in Calgary should look like if he has any desire to stay. But this, the Flames are where they are over 77 games. First and foremost, because of Dustin Wolf's high-end play. And that is with no disrespect to Mackenzie Weegar's season or Jonathan Huberdeau, Nazem Kadri, Matt Coronado, whoever you want to point to, the number one reason why the Flames are still in it and not significantly out of it is because Dustin Wolf has been good for a significant number of points in the standings almost on his own. And so he took over the number one job as the season went along. And now you're in a situation where you need to win all your games, essentially. Who knows how it is in 4 or 5 days from now. But as of right now, the Flames feel like they've got to win their, they got to win out. And that's probably a good way to look at it. And so if you're in a situation where the next game you feel is a must win and the next game is against the Anaheim Ducks, this feels like a must win again. If they drop this one, it sure does feel like that. It'd be pretty darn close to curtains. And so in that situation, you kind of have to go with the guy who is first and foremost the reason that you're here. And I love what Dan Vladar has done since the beginning of February. But, you know, it kind of feels, especially after, because Wilsey, we were talking about potentially the Flames going to Vladar about 6 days ago, the last time they played the Ducks at home. And I think you, me, and Vickers were all on the same page. You know, this might be a good spot to get Vladar in. The Flames went the other direction. They went Wolf. He was great. And again, a huge reason why they were able to win that game and not fall behind in the first 20, 25 minutes of the game. He rewarded that decision and has rewarded every subsequent decision since that time. And it just feels like a no-brainer at this point to keep rolling with 32.
Yeah, and they play every second day. So I think it puts the Flames in a position where they can do just that. And again, I feel bad for Dan Vladar because, to your point, Pat, I'm not sure the Flames are still in the fight for a playoff spot if he doesn't play as well as he has since the start of February, because they couldn't go to Dustin Wolf in every single game. And the fact that they haven't felt like they've needed to do that, allowed them to turn their attention elsewhere, approaching the NHL's trade deadline, because I think we all wondered if they would potentially try to upgrade their backup goaltender with how Vladar was struggling prior to the start of February. And B, they haven't had to overwork their 23-year-old rookie. And I think that has put Dustin in a way better spot. So I do feel bad for Dan, but he's been a great teammate. I wouldn't be surprised to see him back as the Flames' number two goaltender next season, but I hope I don't see him play again this season, because if that's the case, then the Flames are going to go to game 82, still fighting for a playoff spot. At least I think that's the most likely scenario.
Sure does feel that way, that if if they're going to make the playoffs, it's going to come down to April 17th in Los Angeles, and B, if that's the case, it's going to be Dustin Wolf who's rolling with it the entire way. Well, it starts with a big game against the Ducks, Wilsey. We will talk to you on Thursday's roundtable once we know how this game against the Ducks ends up. Thanks as always, my friend.
Okay, guys, enjoy the game.
He is Derek Wills. He is Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg, and that'll wrap us up on the Daily Flames Roundtable this hour. Thanks to Shannon Cam, our outstanding producers this hour, and the Daily Flames Roundtable is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The fastest-growing segment of vehicles they sell is electric. Informed buyers are coming to see. Perhaps you should discover why. Minutes from the Calgary Airport.